speak to us on the topic of forgiveness is good for you.
Thank you very much, and very good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all this morning. Paul's filled up a bit now. I think when I first came, I was worried we'd just be talking to this corner, but it's filled up quite nicely, which is lovely. Right, so forgiveness is good for you. This is the topic I want to talk about. Something I believe passionately, and I believe the Bible teaches us this too. So we've just been reading, haven't we, the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught his disciples. And I'll put the words up there. I'm actually using the New King James Version, but it tells exactly the same thing. So it says, you know, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he goes on to talk about the kingdom, that we should pray for the kingdom to come. He talks about asking for our daily bread, the things that we need each day. It talks about forgiveness, forgiving our debtors, and leading us not into temptation, and praying for the kingdom, and recognizing God as the great and powerful and almighty God. So there's quite a lot in that prayer. But at the end of the prayer, what you noticed in, I think it was verse 14, is that Jesus goes on to talk a little bit more about what he's just said in the prayer. And he doesn't talk about any of the other elements. What he talks about is forgiveness. So it's obviously something very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So it's a very, very important thing, isn't it? It's something that we have to take very seriously if we're following God's ways or trying to follow the Bible. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must forgive if we expect to be forgiven too. So forgiveness, it has two sides in a way of the same coin. There is forgiving others, and there's also being forgiven. And what I hope we will see this morning is that being forgiven is good for us, and offering forgiveness to others is very good for us too. So we might say, well, why do we need forgiveness? What have we done wrong? Why is God so displeased with us that we desperately need forgiveness? And that's a good question. And we have to kind of recognize, it takes humility, I think, to recognize that we have a creator, and that he is superior to us. He is, after all, our creator. And we have to recognize that his ways, if you like, are higher than our ways. And this is a message which is repeated through the scriptures. So, for instance, here in Isaiah 64, we're told, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Then there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. And obviously, this was written at quite a bad time in the history of the nation of Israel, and they had turned their backs on God. But what it's saying there is that even the most sort of the most holy thing that we might think we can do is quite actually unclean, because our thoughts, and if we're honest and think about our own selves, we do get angry, we do harbor grudges and such like, and you know, we're not pure, are we, really, if we're really honest about it? But the Lord God is pure. You, he says there in verse 8, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, for we are your people. And so we see the mercy of God there as well, don't we? So we see that God is mighty, he is pure, and we are, compared to him, impure, really. But the Lord God does have mercy. So do not remember iniquity forever, is the message that is coming from the prophet Isaiah there. Oops. So here's another passage which talks. Actually, I might have gone a little bit far ahead there. So yeah, I missed the slide out. So we'll just get that one in. Can we move on? So again, this is another one from Isaiah, and it's describing our relationship with God. It says there, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him." So we see the mercy of God there. And God explains, "But my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we do need forgiveness from God because of the state of our human nature, really, if we're actually honest about it. This was the occasion when the Lord sent an angel to pass before Moses to show Moses what he is like, to manifest his character. And what he said is, he said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. So we have an opportunity to have forgiveness from God there. He's saying he is a merciful God. Even though he is so high above us, he is a merciful and he does care for us. If we don't want to have access to that mercy and we turn our backs on him, well, he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. He explains there in Exodus chapter 34. So what is sin? What is this problem that we have as human beings? How can we describe it? If we go right back to Genesis, we won't turn there and look at it in depth, but I will put a slide up in a moment. But we go right back to the very beginning of time. We have the creation of man and woman, and we have Adam and we have Eve, and they're placed in the Garden of Eden, the most perfect place on earth. And they've got the run of the place. Everything is just right for them. The food is there, everything they want. God sets one rule for them. He says, "I don't want you to eat of the fruit of one tree." So it wasn't much of a problem, really, was it, that they had, because they got a rule of everything. But just to demonstrate their love, their respect to God, their obedience to him, they were asked just not to eat of that one fruit. But they were tempted to do so. And it was the woman first, Eve, who was tempted. And we see these words here. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." And then they realized at that point they were naked and they needed to be covered. So they felt ashamed. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And so we see that there's three elements to this sin. It was good for food, so it satisfied the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes, so there's the temptation there. And it was a tree desirable to make one wise, and so there was pride involved. And many, many thousands of years later, John wrote these words. He said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides." So we can see there, can't we, that, you know, the lust of the flesh, it was good for food, the lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes, and the pride of life, it made them get puffed up, their aspiration. They thought they could be as clever as God. Basically, that was the temptation by taking of this fruit. And so we can see there what sin is all about. And again, if we're honest and we think of our own sort of situation in life and the things we do and don't do, these things are there, aren't they, in our lives, and they don't always lead to good things. And we can think of the problems going on in the world today. Think of Russia, President Putin. You know, you can see all these kind of the pride that he has, you know, and he wants to satisfy his desire for power, all those kind of things. Just as an example, that's an extreme example. But we have to look at ourselves as well. So sin, what the Bible tells us is that sin leads to death. So we have this from Romans, that the wages of sin is death. So if we sin, then we will die. That is what the Bible teaches us. And James says, look, he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So this is the wages of sin is death. So it's a big problem that we have. And so we need forgiveness. And God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to open up the way of forgiveness for us. So this is what this is why we have these gospel addresses every Sunday, is to try and bring to everybody's attention this wonderful hope that we all have, which is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ first appeared, he came to John the Baptist, who was out baptizing by the River Jordan. And when John saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So he saw Jesus as a lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And when Adam and Eve sinned, and they felt ashamed, didn't they? As we saw, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Fig leaves were a pretty inadequate covering, really. I mean, they probably covered things, but it wasn't going to last, was it? It's a pretty not a very permanent way to cover yourself. So animal skins were provided. So the Lord God said, no, you've got to be covered by animal skins. And it wasn't just because skin is or leather or whatever would be a better covering. It was also showing a principle. It was showing that sin to God is so bad. The only covering for it, it was so serious that an animal had to be killed, basically. The animal had to be killed to provide the skins, and that required the shedding of blood. And the principle of sacrifice for sin is well documented in the Old Testament. So I won't go into all of that. But it's just establishing that principle. So for our sins to be covered, it requires blood to be shed. That is how serious God views sin. He doesn't delight in it. He doesn't delight in the blood of sacrifice. He would rather it didn't happen at all. He would rather we followed his ways perfectly, but we don't. But the Lord Jesus Christ did. And his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, means that we can have our sins forgiven if we follow his ways. So we need forgiveness from God. It leads to eternal life. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ, he rose again from the dead. And this is the point, really, that we can rise again from the dead, that we don't have the power of sin, which leads to death, has been conquered by Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, we read in John chapter 3, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's wonderful, wonderful news. So forgiveness is available to us. The font's not very good on there, is it? What that says at the top there is that we are justified by faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So although we're not perfect in God's sight, we've established that at the beginning of the talk, we are made perfect by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you could just turn, if you've got your Bibles and you'd like to join me to come to Romans chapter 5, I won't be reading long tracts of scripture because I know we don't have so much time this morning. But in Romans chapter 5, we see there that we're justified by faith. And this word justify, it's about being made to fit. So although we're a bit of a mess, it's a bit like when you do some typing and it looks a bit of a mess. You can justify that typing, aren't you? Can't you, on your word processor, and it's made to fit. It looks really good. So back when I was young, everything had to be written down, and it was a bit of a mess. Now it can be made to look perfect, can't it? And that's how what Jesus does for us through his sacrifice. So chapter 5 there, it says, therefore, having been, chapter 5, verse 1, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So isn't that lovely? We're made to fit and we have peace with God. We have a wonderful feeling of being at peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? The guilt and the angst is taken away. And this is why forgiveness is good for you. And through whom we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through baptism. And chapter 6 talks about that baptism and that new life that we have, that new relationship we can have with the Lord our God. It says there, verse 6 and verse 1, chapter 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we have this opportunity to walk anew if we are baptized and we are justified and made perfect in God's eyes. Of course, we may continue to sin and we have a fight against sin, but that can be overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ if we continue to work at that. Romans chapter 7, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, he's on this walk. He says, I'm a new man, I'm doing my best, but then he says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. So I want to do good, he says, but I find I've got a battle going on inside me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ who can deliver us, isn't it? It's his sacrifice and our faith in that sacrifice that can deliver us. And then verse chapter 8, these lovely words. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So he's not saying, everything's done, we don't have to strive, but if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are baptized, then there is no more condemnation and we are made perfect and justified in the sight of the Lord our God. And that's why forgiveness is good for you. And our sins, we're told, are washed away when we're baptized. And when we ask God for forgiveness, God is able to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, we're told there in Psalm 103, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? So, that feeling of guilt and sin can be completely removed, and we can stand before the God who, as we established at the beginning of the talk, is so high above us. So that's forgiving, being forgiven by God. And as Jesus went on in that prayer to say, he said, we have to forgive men who forgive us, who trespass against us as well. We have to show that same attitude as God showed. And Matthew chapter 18, Peter actually came to Jesus in verse 21 of Matthew 18. He said to him, "Look, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." Because he, you know, he could kind of, he got it, you know, he saw that, yeah, we've got to forgive people, but, you know, it can get a bit, you know, a bit much, kind of, you know, we've got to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. People do the same things. But Jesus says to him, "Well, I do not say to you up to seven times, Peter. I say up to 70 times seven." So, you know, it's a, you've got to keep forgiving. And God will keep forgiving us, won't he? And then he goes on to this parable where he describes a very wealthy man, actually, who had fallen into a great deal of debt, or had been a wealthy man, presumably, but he owed a great deal to the king, and the king called him in and said, "Look, if you don't pay your debts, you're going to prison." But he begged and begged, and the king forgave him. But then he went out and met somebody who owed him just a few pence and gave him a really hard time. And that's not what we should be doing. That's what Jesus said there. Verse 35, "So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So we should forgive people who trespass against us. And if we do that, then we're going to have a nicer world, I think. So this is how we should be. This is from Colossians chapter 3. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you also must do." And if we can do that, if we can forgive people when they you know, harm us or whatever, we're not going to hold grudges, are we? And we're going to be happier people. Forgiveness is definitely good for you. So forgiveness, it requires us to say sorry, doesn't it? To repent, to change our ways. And this is part of when we're baptized. John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And the idea was that you confess your sins, you'll wash away, and you decide you're going to go on another route. And this is very much what the gospel message is telling us. So forgiveness, if we can forgive other people, you know, think of forgiving and being forgiven. If we can forgive other people, we're going to have happier marriages, happier relationships with our colleagues at work, at school. Generally in life, we're going to be happier people if we can forgive people. We're going to have less stress. You know, we're not going to carry around that kind of anger and, you know, annoyance with people if we can be prepared to allow these things to kind of wash over us in a way. If we have a forgiving attitude, it's going to improve our mental health. And these are things that are documented. You know, if you're a forgiving person, you're going to probably have better mental health than somebody who's holding grudges and going around angry. You're going to have an inner peace. And obviously, if you can get rid of all your anger and angst and such like, that's all connected, isn't it, with poor health, you know, bad heart conditions, things like that. So there's lots of benefits. So, in summary, forgiveness really is good for you, isn't it? We need God's forgiveness for our sins. We must repent to gain that forgiveness and be baptized. And our sins are forgiven and we are justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must forgive others their sins too. So forgiveness is good for us, for our spiritual and our physical health. So thank you for listening.